It's here and now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein. This year's gubernatorial race is shaping up to be one of Arizona's more competitive ones in several elections, especially in the Republican primary. What sort of impact could independents have in that and other primary races? Over the past 3 years or so, independent voter registration in Arizona has gone up by 140,000, while Democrats have lost more than 40,000, and Republicans are down a few hundred. The growth of independents, though, is not limited to Arizona. It's become a nationwide phenomenon. So how can independents seriously affect elections? Have they already done so? With me for a few minutes is Jackie Salet, president of independentvoting.org, author of the book Independence Rising. Jackie, thanks for being with me.
Oh, thanks for having me, Steve.
What are the challenges of bringing registered independents together? Because we know they can't all be lumped in as moderates or libertarians, for example.
Well, you're exactly right about that. But what they share is a belief and a sense that something has gone wrong with the political system, that the parties and partisanship dominate the policymaking process and the political process in ways that are enormously destructive and hurtful to ordinary people, and it's a movement which is growing across Arizona and across the country of Americans who are saying we need to move beyond party politics and partisanship in order to address what's going on in our country.
And Jackie, I want to come back, though, to the fact that you have a lot of people who are disgusted, but they seem to be disgusted maybe about different things. As you mentioned, they're probably just upset with what they see as lethargy in Washington or the fact there isn't that camaraderie and people aren't working together. But again, how do you make it so it isn't just a few independents voting here, a few independents voting there? How do you make it so independents get more excited about voting?
Well, part of that, I mean, that's a really good question. And, you know, a lot of people say to me, and I've been organizing independents for 30 years in different forms and around different kinds of issues and situations. A lot of people say, well, you know, how do you organize independents? Because they're independent. They don't want to join anything. And, you know, it's a reasonable question. In my experience, what brings independents together and what activates them, both as leaders and as voters, is engaging the structure, the form, the engineering, the way the political process itself works. I mean, in Arizona recently, there was an effort to change the primary system and to create a nonpartisan, called the Top Two, open primary system, which was defeated at the polls. And though it was very popular among voters in all of the surveys and pre-election polling, you know, when it got to election day, the party machines still have the power to pull out the vote. And what independents are doing is becoming organized and starting to shine a light on the ways in which the political process favors the political parties over ordinary people, over the voters, and seeking changes that redress that imbalance. And that's the kind of thing that excites and ignites participation, not just by independents, frankly, but by rank-and-file Democrats and Republicans, people who are Greens, Libertarians, whatever. The political process has to be more open. We can't allow the parties to control it in the ways that they do.
Jackie, is that going to make Republicans and Democrats, those who are really the party faithful, get their shoulders up and decide they're going to fight this even harder, which at least for the short term could make it more difficult for independents? I know here we have an open primary system, but there are a lot of independents who may not necessarily know they can request either a Republican or Democratic ballot, and certainly the parties are not exactly helping communicate that fact.
No, you're exactly right about that. There's very little done to educate and inform independents about their right to vote in an open primary situation, which is the case in Arizona, which after all was voted up by the voters, you know, in the 1990s. But look, I think what you're saying about the backlash from Democrats and Republicans is very, very real. And one of the things that we saw, and this really kind of resonated and reverberated all throughout the country, is that in the fight over nonpartisan primaries in Arizona, one of the things that you saw was organizations like the League of Women Voters, typically a progressive, you know, pro-democracy organization, joining forces with Sheriff Joe Arpaio to try to throw the initiative off the ballot so that the voters didn't even get the opportunity to decide whether they wanted to shift to what is essentially a public primary rather than a party primary system. So, yes, you're quite right. Democrats and Republicans get their, you know, hardcore Democrats and Republicans get their hackles up about these kinds of reforms. And then you start to see these kind of weird combinations of Sheriff Arpaio and the League of Women Voters, and people start to say, well, what's going on here, and why? What brings forces like that together against a basic democracy reform? And that leads you right to the doorstep of the extent to which the parties just simply have too much control.
Jack, only a minute or so left, but I think this is an important question to address, and that is the next generation. Do you think that the independent movement will grow even greater as those who are in their early 20s and just starting to vote are going to say, I'm even less beholden to the parties than other people were in other generations?
Well, I think that's a really important observation, and it's true. Younger people don't have the same history of attachment to one or the other of the major political parties, and moreover, they don't even have an attachment to the idea of political parties. They tend to be much more free-thinking and free-associational than prior generations have been. So at independentvoting.org, for example, my national organization, you know, we are reached out to by younger voters, you know, in the hundreds, you know, every week, people who are looking for information and ways to participate in the political process without having to be part of a political party. Any of your listeners who want more information about this can go to our website. But yes, the younger generation is going to drive this. And part of what we're seeing is the disconnect now between the way the system is organized and the new generation of voters. And I think that ultimately that's going to produce the breakthrough that we're looking for and that we need.
Jackie Salet is president of independentvoting.org. She's also author of the book Independence Rising. Jackie, thanks for the time today.
And thanks for having me.
Arizona's primary system lets independents choose either a Republican or a Democratic ballot, but a small percentage take advantage of that opportunity. Will that change this year? Bob Robb, Arizona Republic columnist, wrote about the growth of registered independents in his Sunday column. Bob, who are Arizona independents? There are some who'd like to think they're mostly moderates, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
It is one of the most important understudied phenomenons in Arizona politics. There's lots of theories as to who the independents are and why they are registering independent and opting out of the partisan electoral system. But it's mostly speculation. There's been very little hard study done.
Are independents, whoever they are, influential in Arizona?
They certainly are in general election. I don't think you can look at what happened in J.D. Hayworth's congressional district, where it went from Hayworth to Harry Mitchell and David Swank, did not conclude that it was the shifting sentiments of independents that caused those shifts between very conservative Republicans to a moderate Democrat and back to a conservative Republican. But in statewide races, they haven't seemed to have much of an impact, and particularly a modest or negligible impact in off-presidential years, where their turnout lags significantly behind that of Democrats, which in turn lags significantly behind that of Republicans.
Is there any reason to think, considering independents are a different variety of folks, that there can be an issue, a leader, someone like that, that would be able to corral a greater percentage of them?
You would certainly think that that is a political possibility, but no one has been able to turn that trick. The independents seem to go with the national mood. They swung Democratic, including in Arizona, in the Democratic wave elections of 2006 and 2008. They swung Republican hard nationally and in the state in 2010. And they sort of divided their vote in the 2012 election. So certainly there is political gold in the independent vote if someone can figure out how to capture a disproportionate number of them on issues and to get their turnout to increase beyond its relatively low levels.
It's Here and Now on KJZZ. I'm Steve Goldstein with Arizona Republic columnist Bob Robb. Bob, are Republicans and Democrats afraid of the potential power of independents?
I think that certainly Republicans are afraid of the power of independents. I think Democrats see independents as a potential opportunity to overcome their sizable and growing registration disadvantage compared to the Republicans, but they haven't figured out how to make that happen. I think Republicans tend to be more vested in a partisan system than Democrats, but certainly if you talk to the Democratic activists and when it gets to the issue of who represents a heavily Democratic area, you would see some fear of the independent influence there as well, if it began to manifest itself more consistently and powerfully.
Independents have the opportunity, as we've said, to vote in Arizona primary elections. Is there something considering, there's been the discussion of whether parties are losing their influence or whether primaries are set for the parties so that they should be more flexible in terms of allowing more of the Arizona electorate to take part. Is there something that should be done? You're such a government activist, Bobby. I'd love to ask you this question. Is there a feeling that there should be something done to get more independents to vote and be aware of their possibility of voting in a primary?
Well, you certainly have candidates in primary elections who think that they would benefit from a higher participation in the primary election by independents and target them. But so far, no one has been successful in getting independents to be interested in partisan primary elections. My guess is before we see independents participate in primaries in large measure, we'll have to have very fundamental reform and something like nonpartisan primaries where it isn't the parties choosing their candidates, it's the electorate choosing the top two candidates to go on to the general election.
Bob, you did cite a couple of examples, the J.D. Hayworth, Harry Mitchell congressional race for one, but could we lump independent voters with how some feel about the Latino vote that the influence is speculated about but is mostly unproven?
Yes, although with the Latino voter phenomenon, the belief that the growing tide of Latino voters will strengthen the hand of Democrats and turn Arizona into a purple state rather than a reliably Republican state, there's no evidence of it. The Democratic registration disadvantage to Republicans continues to grow, and since the last gubernatorial election, Democrats have actually lost 40,000 registered voters. The independent phenomenon, on the other hand, is just undeniable. The numbers are there. While Democrats lost voters since the last gubernatorial election and Republicans basically treaded water, there were over 140,000 new independent voter registrants.
Mm-hmm.
So that's real. The question is, will it make a difference in the outcome of elections? And at present, you have to say, that's a huge possibility, but no one's figured out how to do the trick.
Well, Bob, finally, as a segue then, any races you're watching in 2014 where independents might be able to wield more influence, any chance, for example, in the gubernatorial race, if a certain Republican who's a little bit more conservative maybe comes out of that particular primary fight?
If there is a very bloody Republican primary and no clear winner and a winner that's bruised and broke, then certainly Fred DeVol, the Democratic presumed nominee, will be targeting independents really big. But he needs not only to get their votes, he needs to dramatically increase their turnout, because unless the Republican loses a large part of the Republican vote, and the likely candidates, I don't think, will in all likelihood lose a large percentage of the Republican vote, then DeVol, based upon previous turnout figures, is going to need somewhere between 70 and 75% of the independent vote to make it a competitive race. That's a tough bargain. So I think DeVol will have, and other Democrats, will have to target on trying to get the independent vote out in much larger percentages than it has in the past and capture a larger share than most candidates can hope to capture.
Arizona Republic columnist Bob Robb. You can read him in the paper on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and catch him online at azcentral.com. Bob, thanks as always.
Enjoyed it.